Welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm so excited for this opportunity to interview some of my friends. You guys have become my really good friends and colleagues. We've done some really fun projects together, and it is my honor to be able to interview you guys as part of the Conversations with Interracial Couples podcast series. I will just go ahead and introduce you guys. Sarah and Alex Dumas are the founders of Abundance Daily Coaching. They've been married for over 10 years. In that time, they have experienced building several businesses. They are committed to serving and coaching married couples to improve their communication and create meaningful, intimate connections with the focus on making their relationship the priority. When they aren't spending time together with their two kids and their dogs, Sarah and Alex are serving clients or supporting families all over the world in their weekly podcast, The Business and Marriage Podcast. Welcome, Alex and Sarah. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Well, I know you weren't like totally expecting this question, but we have to start with the story of how you guys met and fell in love, because everybody loves a great love story.
So way back in the day when there was a thing called MySpace, that's how we connected.
Yes. She was a mutual friend of a friend. I came across her profile, and as a single man at the time, I said the three magic words to her that won her heart over. I said, "What up? Nice pics."
In a DM. Words.
No, it was one word. What up? W-A-D-D-U-P. What up? Nice pics. And that started.
So romantic.
Yeah, that was the end of 2015 and 2005. And here we are 14 awesome. Years together later and 10 years married.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there has to be a little something else that you did to sweep her off her feet, because I doubt she was like, "What up? I do."
No, I mean, that started the conversation of like, you know, we exchange information. We started, this is really dating us back, like we started communicating via AIM as got each other's buddy list.
Remember AOL Instant Messenger? Yeah that's what we.
And then eventually one day she was like, "Hey, I'm bored. Let's take me out."
Like, no, I told him, I was like, "I'm bored. I have nothing to do. Take me to the movies." And he was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And so he called me, and now we had never met each other in person yet. This was like 2 weeks of us just basically like talking on AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Yeah, take me to the movies." He's like, "Okay." So he's like, "Let me call you so you can tell me directions." So I called him, told him directions, and then he like drove with me on the phone, whatever. And he's like, "All right, I'm here." And I was like, "Okay." And I like went out and got in his car.
Yeah,
like,
mind you, I didn't go to the door.
No.
I'm just like.
I just opened his car door and just, I was like, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you." And like.
So for the kids listening out there, this is the prototype of what not to do. This is total anti, do not do this ever.
This was when I was 18 and crazy, and if he tried anything, I probably would have kicked his butt, because I was just like that type of person back then.
Yeah.
I had like my knife on me for protection. I was full like hood girl back then. But anyway, definitely a different person now.
I love it.
We laugh about that because he's like, "You don't know what I would have done." I was like, "You don't know what I would have done."
I love it. Well, obviously it worked out for you guys. I love it so much. So I want to hear from each of you. What attracted you to the other?
Do you want to start or should I go ahead? I guess from her picture, it was just like a really fierce, you know, look. It caught my eye. I don't know what it was. She had like this fierce, like Latina face on. I was like, "Okay, what's up?" But I always thought it was like her eyes are like little brown diamonds to me. Like, they just always shine up. And I just love her resilience, her tenacity. And I think that all came across in the photo, but I didn't know how to like explain it. It was just like, "Oh, she interests me." So I shot my shot and it worked.
Nice.
And for me, I had actually came out of an abusive relationship right before I met Alex. He was just like a breath of fresh air. At the time that he crossed my path, I had kind of like sworn off men. Again, I was only 18. I was in a domestic violence situation, just gone through miscarrying, so all this like traumatic stuff, and I'm like, forget men, like da, da, da. Of course, at that time I had all these different guys like reaching out to me, so I was probably talking to five or six different guys, like just kind of friend, you know, on a friendship
not dating anybody, but just like kind of getting to know whatever's out there. Alex was the most persistent one and the one that like, it wasn't about it going anywhere or it just trying to be like a one night stand type, whatever, you know, there was like no pressure around it. There wasn't ulterior motives. Let's put it that way. We were just able to connect. The first couple of dates were like a little weird because Alex was just a little awkward. But then we had one awesome night. And this is the night that we said the switch. And like ever since then, we've been inseparable. And it was just one night we went to the movies again. This was a different time. When we got back, he just parked in front of my house. And it was already like 11 o'clock at night when we got back for the movies. And we ended up just talking in the car until 2 a.m. or so. I remember my mom being pissed off that I was not home. And like when he walked me to the door, she's like, what are you doing? Get inside. So it was like 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. So but it was just like one of those things. Like we just got into, I don't even remember what we were talking about, yeah, but we just lost in conversation. Yeah. It was just one of those conversations where it's like, oh my goodness, look at the time. How did 3 or 4 hours go by? Like, what happened? Ever since then.
And I made my move. Yeah. Gave you a smooch. And I stepped on her foot too, so she wouldn't walk away. True story.
Yeah, you're like this. And my dog bit him. All at the same time.
Yeah.
Smooth operator. Awesome.
Yeah.
Take notes, fellas. This is how you get it done.
So tell me, did you have any experiences with racism while you were dating or engaged?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On both sides of the family. For me, when my mom was here, you know, she's passed away now. It was definitely a lot of tension at first because I'm the youngest of four, so I'm the baby boy. I can do no wrong. So she's kind of holding on to me like as the last piece. Anyway, when I introduced Sarah to the family, it was kind of like, okay, what's going on? What's this about? But, you know, my brothers were fine with it. My sister, you know, didn't care. My dad was like, right, whatever. But it was just like kind of dealing with my mom and that hurdle for a while. It really wasn't until we, you know, let them know like, hey, we're expecting our daughter. This is late 2009, right before our wedding, which was already planned. And stuff
I
like
found
that,
but... out. So we found out we were pregnant with our daughter literally a month before our wedding. Yeah. We had been planning our wedding for a year and a half. And then right before him.
But that was really when like the switch flipped.
Yeah.
Mom was like, okay, Sarah, what do you need? She was like, I mean, really, honestly, it was like night and day.
It was funny. His mom went from trying to hook him up with other Haitian women, literally right in front of me. She'd be like, oh, I know this Haitian girl. You want her number? Mom, like me and Sarah are engaged. Yeah. What are you talking about? And then right after we announced we were pregnant, she's like, if you ever do anything to Sarah, I will hurt you. Like, you better not cheat on her. You better not, like, don't be looking at other women. And I'm like,
weren't you just trying to, like, give me phone numbers and stuff like that? It was just, it was really bizarre.
But it was literally like a light switch. It was funny.
But yeah, I mean, that was my experience from our end, my side of the family. She can definitely give you some other stories about her side.
Yeah, so my grandparents on my mother's side are very racist. My grandfather is like old school Italian. He told me that my children would never be accepted by society and they were always going to be outcasts, and that why would I want to do that to myself, and that I should just find like a good Italian boy. All these things. With them, we extended the invitation to our wedding just because I felt like it was the right thing to do. They didn't show up. That's okay, whatever. And from that point on, it was just kind of like, okay, you want to act like I don't exist, I'm going to act like you don't exist. And really, we have even been at family events, like at Christmas time or whatever, at my cousin's house where they were there as well. And they literally ignored us. They've never officially met their only great grandchildren that they will ever know in their lifetime, because there's nobody else who is even close to age to give them that. And they're already in their mid-90s now. So yeah, it's just been sad. More so, I'm just kind of sad for them on the fact that they're missing out on this.
Yeah, and let me just say, like, they were like outwardly like, boo, go somewhere, Alex. But yeah, it was just, you can feel the tension. It was just very awkward. It'd be like, all right, I shake a hand or something like that, and just like pretty much ignore for the rest of the time.
They would, we had probably at like family things, there would be at least 30 to 40 people or so. Like it was a good size. And I remember at like my one cousin's house, she had like this huge table. Like she had everybody basically all in a line, and they literally sat as far away from us as they could. At one point, we went to sit at one side of the table, and my aunt was there, and she got up and like moved all the way to the other side. And then a similar situation at my other cousin's house, completely ignore, like they didn't say hi to my kids. Like my kids were like walking right past them, and they're just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So things like that. But yeah, they weren't outwardly like yelling things or anything like that. It was just like kind of, they're like, all right, we're just gonna act like we don't see you.
Yeah. The passive. Yeah.
Darn. Yeah.
So besides those like stories like that, what other challenges have you guys faced together as a couple because the differences of the color of your skin?
Even going out in public and stuff, there's one thing that I had to get used to in the beginning is just like the stares from people. Like you definitely get stared at, you get like looked at, like side eye. I've gotten comments as people are passing us, like said under their breath, like from all different races. This is not just white people. It has came from the other side as well. Yeah. Depending on where we've gone, like it's almost like when we walk in, somebody skipped a record and everybody's like, they literally like all heads turn and it's like, oh, okay, we're going to go find somewhere else to eat. Like, yeah, we're not going
good times where we just like, we've stepped in. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. This is not a place for us to be.
So what is happening? You guys are on the East Coast.
Yeah. This has happened all over. I would say probably not so much when we were in New York, but one of those instances with one of the restaurants, we were in Pennsylvania and we were driving through, we were going from Hershey to Allentown and we just stopped off the 95 or whatever it's called. We just stopped off randomly and we were like, oh, this looks like a cool place to eat. And we just walked in and that happened. And we were like, we're going to go a few towns down and go find somewhere else. Yeah. 'Cause apparently this is not the town for us. And then it's also happened. Like, I remember that happening one time at like a Waffle House. I want to say that was like in the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area. But I mean, these are places like anything off of interstate highway, you would think people are used to random, you know, all sorts of races, random people and all this stuff. And it's just really like not the case. And it's things that some people probably wouldn't even notice or you wouldn't even bat your eyes to. We have gone a couple places with some of our friends and they have, once I pointed out, I'm like, do you see like how that part? They're like, oh, like that's so weird. Why are they staring at us? This is why they're staring at us. Sorry. You know, like, that's so weird. It's one of those things like you don't even know it exists until it starts happening to you and then you start noticing it.
So is that harder on one of you than on the other, or do you both kind of take it in stride? What does that look like for you guys as a couple?
It used to be harder for me because I would literally be ready to fight anybody. I'd be like, what are you looking at? You have something to say to me? Like, let's go outside. Like, what's going on? Now it bothers me still. I ignore it now for the most part, but it depends on the situation. It depends like if I'm maybe already in a bad mood or whatever. I think it's definitely, I'm probably the one it's harder on because like he's kind of oblivious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of used to it. I mean, I grew up in part of school. Like I went to like predominantly white schools, like Catholic schools. I guess I built up like that resistance, whatever, to like the stares or anything like that or any slick remarks and stuff like that. So I mean, it's annoying, but it doesn't really affect me. I just go on doing my stuff because if I'm not bothering anybody, then no one shouldn't be bothering me.
Yeah. So have you found that you've faced challenges in your marriage because of differences in upbringing or?
Yeah, more so on the religious side. Like my family, I grew up Catholic. They were like super Catholic, like go to church every week, you know, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, all that kind of stuff. Sarah was raised in a slightly Christian. Different, yeah, Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And when we got together, we decided, you know, we're going to raise our kids as Christian. So that involves no baptisms, you know, like at least
no baby baptisms.
No baby baptisms. Yeah. And like, that was an interesting conflict with my family because they're like, when's the baptism for the kids? When's this happening? We're doing the first communions. I'm like, they don't do that. Like, we're not baptizing the baby. You know, they already don't have sin. Like, why are they?
Yeah, so that was like a whole interesting. His mom and his sister are very like, oh my goodness, like you have to. I don't even remember how we necessarily navigated past that. I think
I think it was one of like the major like put the foot down moments. Like no, like this, we're not doing it. Like
yeah, because then after that, it was okay. Like they kind of let stuff go, and it was just like, all right, we're just gonna have to deal with it. You know,
accept it. because we made our decisions, our family, it's our kids.
Yeah.
That's how it is. So yeah, that was probably a big tense moment.
Yeah, but as far as like upbringing and stuff, we actually grew up in the same neighborhood. And it's funny because like I went to public school. We grew up in a rough neighborhood and I went to the public schools there and then he went to Catholic school. So we kind of have like out of who's streetwise, that would be me. So it's kind of almost in a way of me teaching Alex some things versus the other way around. Don't make that face. That's true.
Yeah, it's just a different dynamic. Like my parents were together for, you know, over 30 years, you know, yeah, 40 years.
And my parents got divorced when I was young.
So. She's the only child. I'm the youngest of four.
Yeah. So it was... Oh, yeah. So we definitely had some dynamics on that side of things, too. Like with, I mean, I do have a sister, but she was born when I was 12 and a half. I feel like more like her mother than her sister. So we have kind of like a mothering dynamic going on more than a sister dynamic.
You're a dude? Okay.
So that was interesting too, just kind of like accepting, I don't want to say accepting your brothers and sisters, but.
Yeah, just like you're adding.
Just getting used to like, oh wait, you have siblings?
Yeah, like all of us are loud, we're crazy and wild. I'm honestly like the most subdued. All four of us get together is just wild crazy. It's and so like, loud. I know that took a long time for her to get used to.
I'm like, why are y'all yelling at each other across the table?
Like, this is how we talk.
Tone it
we're
down.
Just like, yeah! Like, we just joke and we just cut up all the time. So it's it was different.
So what do you guys think you've learned or what are your best tips and tricks for overcoming these differences, both race, religion, family dynamics, all of those things within your marriage to kind of figure out what you guys are doing in your specific marriage and family?
So I think the important thing is to have conversation with your spouse around these topics. Maybe there's an interracial couple that like you guys have might not ever have the race talk with each other. And maybe you need to have that because it helps to benefit your marriage to know your spouse's feelings about things, especially with what's going on in the world right now. Having talks around that, religion, whatever it is, everything basically, having open communication and really hearing out your spouse and their feelings. And then deciding what's going to happen inside your four walls of your marriage and deciding that together and then not letting outside influences like your family, your friends. I want my grandkid raised like this. Well, that's great, but they're my children, or our children. So we are going to raise them like this. You can keep your opinion over there. Are you laughing?
Like, Sarah's definitely sassy one. She's the sassy one.
I can just see it coming. I'm like, oh, here we go. Because
that is literally how I would say it to somebody too. Yeah. Like, you keep your opinion out there. And then just kind of like standing strong in it. Because I think a lot of times, I don't know if it's a generational thing or it's maybe just a grandparent thing or whatever, but older generations going back to how their parents raised them, it's like you have this kind of mentality that grandparents have to be involved in how their grandkids are raised and all this. It really doesn't. And like, you really have no say on what I choose to do with my children. Like, God gave me those children for me to raise, not for you to raise. And not saying like, obviously, it takes a village to raise kids and, you know, you should always have support and everything like that. Just from a foundational standpoint of the decisions you're going to make and how you're going to choose to navigate that, it's your life, it's your marriage, it's your children, and you and your spouse are the only ones who get to decide that.
Yeah, I love that. Any pearls of wisdom, Alex?
Kind of going back to what she said about just having those conversations. You know, for us, we made that decision like a long time ago, like, hey, we're going to work together as a team, and you know, anybody's ever just talk, we talk about the acronym all the time, but really about, you know, I got your back. She's got my back and we're not going to waver on this. This is not going to be a thing where I kind of go behind her back like, oh, I'm going to do this stuff for the kids this way. And it's like, no, that doesn't work. It's got to be everybody is on point together. And, you know, even just with family, if you hear slick remarks, if you hear kind of little, you know, sly comments and jokes that you're not comfortable with, then, you know, it's kind of either directed toward your spouse, their race, whatever it might be, their religion, then you got to really just cut the head off the snake right then and there and let them know, like, this is someone I respect, this is someone I value. You can't disrespect, you've disrespected, my spouse is disrespecting me. and that's just not going to happen. So being strong in your conviction that way.
I love that. So do you guys talk to your kids about racism, or how do you do that?
So one thing that we did early on to kind of start that conversation, like at a preschool level, was I took a brown egg and a white egg, and I had them observe, like, what are the differences? Oh, one's brown, one's white. Okay. Then we cracked them open and we put them in two separate cups. And it's like, okay, now what's the difference? Nothing, they're the same. Because just because somebody's different on the outside, and now this also applies, like, you can kind of use the same reference for even like people with disabilities or whatever. But the whole point of this was like, I don't care what somebody looks like. That doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have the same thing on the inside of us. You treat everybody like you want to be treated and like they're the same. You have no right to treat anybody differently just because they look like something that you're not used to or they look different from you. Now we have an almost 10-year-old. She'll be 10 in a month. So with her, we have more realistic conversations about like what's going on in the world. We have shown her things, like whether it be like educational videos or whatever, or just even talking about things as they come up. Let's say what happened with the police brutality and George Floyd. Like, she knows what happened to him. We watched a video that we felt that was appropriate. It was kind of like just a detail video, non-bias, and it just talked about the truths of what was in the video and the points. She knows that, and she saw that, and she was upset by it, and she's like, why would anybody do this? Like, da, 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 da. And so we had that whole conversation around it, but we also had the conversation around, that doesn't mean that you're scared of all police. Police are generally good. They're here to protect us, but you be aware that there are ones out there who will do things like that, and you have to understand that. We've had conversations even just because stuff has happened in school where people have made comments, why are you so much darker than your mom? Or what, you know, like, is that really your mom? Like, you know, just stupid questions. We've had that come up throughout the years. And so we just kind of talked to her about that. Bringing awareness, but also not letting her be fearful just of the fact that, hey, people are going to do things, say things, and treat you differently because you look different than them. But you also use that to know, you know how crappy that feels, so you make sure you're not doing it to anybody else.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the egg example too. That's amazing. Like, what beautiful imagery to like teach young kids about that, that we're all on the inside regardless of what we look on the outside. I really like that, and I haven't heard it anywhere.
I actually got that idea. She was like maybe 3 years old at the time, and I can't remember where I saw it. I want to say it was like some video shared on Facebook or something, so it's not my, I'm not taking credit for that. I did see it somewhere years ago, but it's just something that like I utilize.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. How do you, you kind of address this, but have you thought about how you'll talk to them at different ages, like as they grow up, even into teenagers and to adulthood? And would you talk to your girls differently than you talk to your boys about what's going on?
I don't know that we necessarily have planned conversations. It's more like as things are coming up and as they experience what they experience. Like, one of the reasons we did the George Floyd video was because it was talked about in school like the next day. And it's like, I'm not letting you learn what happened from your friends. When things happen that either I know it's going to be talked about or it has been talked about or whatever, we kind of address those issues as they come. And whatever we come across that we think is a good teaching point, or like the other day, it wasn't race related, but there was something else that came up that I was like, this is a good example. It was about like predators on TikTok. And TikTok is one of the things that she has been asking to do because people, kids in school. And so I showed her the video, and she already knows. We had this conversation a long time ago about predators and everything like that. And so I showed her the video. I said, what's wrong with that? And she's like, that man should not be looking at that girl, you know, whatever. It was like a man looking down a little girl's shirt.
Yeah, and
like, her, they were doing a dance.
Her pants and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it was really creepy.
And so I said, okay, like, does he look like an evil person or anybody that you would think? She's like, no, he looks like a normal person. Okay, well, teaching point there. They could look any way. You never know what they're going to look like. this is wrong. You said, you know, you pointed out what was wrong, which are correct. We just kind of, I use that as like a teaching point to go through the points with her of what to look for. Another reminder of no matter what happens, what anybody says, if something like that happens, you always tell mommy and daddy, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's just like, I know that's kind of a little off topic, but I felt like it was like a really good example because it just happened last night.
Any chance I get to like point out something like that's a positive image of anybody of color, like, you know, on Disney, everybody's been watching Hamilton. And I'm like, hey, do you see how this cast is coming together? They're telling the story. They're doing it in their own voice, their own rhythms, things like that. Just reminding her of, you know, you're a beautiful young girl and not harping on, like, you know, you're a beautiful black girl or you're pretty for a black girl. That's one of those really slick remarks of like, well, why wouldn't she just be pretty already? Why should she be pretty for a black girl or a brown girl? So just reminding her of that, or, you know, for my son, he's like, oh, you're so strong, you're so tough, you know, you're so smart. Remind him of like good qualities about him and making sure that they know that in the past, those aren't qualities that, you know, people of color have, but like those are. You're gentle, you're kind, you're smart, you're compassionate, you're a leader, you know, so just really trying to really program that in their brain so they don't follow the pack, they don't get caught up in, you know, foolishness and dumb stuff. So that's our teaching.
Well, because the next question is, do you guys have like a family creed or motto or vision statement that you really think is important for your kids to learn and understand and grow up with?
Okay, but actually, we kind of worked on like,
yeah, we
wrote like a family crest. We've been like,
yeah, but we never like officially did it. Like we did it, but then we were like, oh yeah, we'll finalize it like another time. And then it was just one of those things that.
I think our thing is just like, you know what, we're weird.
Yeah.
We're fun. We treat people with respect. We treat people how we would want them to treat us. And we have something on our wall, like our family rules, you know, like, you know, loving each other, hugging each other, that kind of stuff. Us as an example, I think that's our family creed of, you know, we love each other, we respect each other, we trust each other, and that's how we have to operate. We want to be an example for them of how family's supposed to be. With our families being so different, it was kind of weird that we both had really the same vision of, well, we're going to be together. This is it. It's going to be always and forever. It's not going to be me with baby mamas and all this stuff. And it's not going to be you, you know, running all over town. It's going to be like, we're committed to this. And I think that's the biggest thing for us to show them is this is what real internal commitment looks like. And this is how it expresses itself with love and honor and respect. So
I really like that. So what do you hope that your kids will remember about their mom and dad?
I hope they remember how much we had fun together. Because for me, this is not a knock on my parents. I never really got to see them have like PDA, public displays of affection. You know, there's maybe a handful of times I've seen them like really hug or kiss, hold hands, things like that. And yeah. I'm constantly like, what's up, David?
I'm like, could you just give me a second?
No, but you know, we're giving each other like, you know, the 20-second hug.
Yeah, them. If I walk in the door, I go kiss him first, or vice versa, whatever.
You're constantly hearing us say, "Love you, see you later, hon," and it's not this slamming plates and throwing down and getting mad at each other. I mean, they see us have our discussions, and we don't see eye to eye sometimes, and that's good for them too. They need to see people have conflict and resolve it. But I think for the most part, just seeing us love each other, have fun, laugh, goof off, and be silly, and be active together. So that's important.
Yeah, you have no idea how much I love that. Yes, everything that you just said. So final question, when all is said and done, if you guys aren't around anymore, what do you hope that people remember about the two of you and your marriage?
I would say, I just wanted to say that these two crazy characters got it right. It was meant to be. It was, you know, literally she's my best half. And I think I shared this kind of number story with you. Like my birthday is October 26th, 10/26. Her birthday is May 13th, 5/13. 5/13 is literally half of
that's 10, so cool. 15. I haven't heard that before in all the times I've interviewed you. That's very cool.
You can't, like, it's really freaky how these things come
together. Yeah, and it's funny too with our kids, like they have a similar thing too.
Yeah, like
our son's 4/22 and our daughter's 8/11. So like obviously 11 times 2 is 22. 4 times 2 yeah. is 8. No, it's just so weird how the numbers, it's really fruity. And we're all born on Wednesdays. Like, it's
yeah. Yeah. Not to get too sidetracked. Yeah, not to get too sidetracked. I guess just to show, like, hey, you got it right, and this is what a relationship of endless possibilities of abundance can look like. And we just want to be a good example for our kids and let them know it's never what you're called. It's what you answer to. It's what's important. Mm. You know, it's put your faith in God, put your faith in yourself, do the right things, and the right things will come to you. But we have to be the examples of that and be the leaders from the front. So that's what I hope people will remember and what our kids will remember. My vision is always years from now, our great-great-grandkids will have a picture of us above a mantle, and they'll just be like, you know what? They did this for us. They put it on the line for us. They were the seeds. They planted a great tree of love.
What a vision. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, Alex and Sarah, tell the viewers where they can find you if they want to continue the conversation, or if they're looking for business and marriage coaching from you guys, where's the best place to connect with you?
So the best place to go would be going to abundancedaily.com. There you can find our different links to freebies, courses, and all of that. And then if you wanted social media, probably the best place for me is Instagram. So it's The Real Sarah Dumas.
For me, I'm a Facebook guy. Our group, our public group, whatever, the Business and Marriage Project. And in light of all these recent events, we're putting together actually something, a really cool masterclass for interracial couples. We're still working out those details, but we want...
It felt like it was something that was called out to us.
Like, you know, we should really kind of address some things and really offer some support in a way for these couples of color and mixed colors to come together. So that's going to be coming down the pipeline fairly soon too. So,
well, that's fantastic. Keep us posted on that so we can make sure to let everybody know about that, because I think that would be a very valuable resource.
Well, we appreciate you, Monica. Thanks for having us on.
Yep. Love you guys.
Good time talking to you.
Love you.